with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed, flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking.
It is always an interesting piece of music to listen to. It is rare that I don't listen and pick out a particular phrase, a different phrase, for one reason or another. Not tonight. My mind is going in many directions tonight. Good to have you here on this Thursday evening, fourth day of August. Jeffrey Bennett here. Edge of Darkness. I guess that fits with the opening music as well. Topic tonight, in a roundabout way, a historical figure, as it were, Abandonitis. You've not heard of Abandonitis, have you? Consider that in reality, in a roundabout way, I guess we're going to discuss murder tonight. I mean, it looks like murder to me. No, we're not going to touch on abortion, even though, as most of you know, I've got some definite opinions. What we share tonight concerns decisions that directly and indirectly caused the death of over 170,000 American citizens, untold numbers of immigrants, and cost undisclosed billions of tax dollars to support a political agenda. By which party? Does it matter? No. But we're discussing tonight deals with a different issue, an issue that has angered me for many years. America's open border policy. As this piece was being written several days ago, my friend was enjoying an early morning cup of coffee. The first of many cups of coffee. No, this is not a continuation of yesterday's program. What my friend talks about, however, is the incessant political drivelling to place blame has nearly depleted our attitude of giving a damn. My friend, as much as I am, is worn out. But I suppose if I wanted good news, we should ignore the continual media feeds that we get. My friend has identified his point of declination as the beginning of the 2016 presidential election, which, if memory serves us, began shortly after the end of the War of Northern Aggression. Well, it actually began late in 2014 with the presidential attack ads, the electioneering spectacles, pageantry, all which they called debate. What a joke. A close friend observes that debates are held because politicians can't masturbate publicly. Debates are their opportunity to do it on camera with the world watching. And the political onslaught was interminable. Voting day appeared, not soon enough. Everyone just wanted it to stop. Trump won, but it didn't end there. The circus tents were just going up. The demo socks were terrible, sore losers. They were just awful. And so America was treated to another 5.5 years of hate and lies that continue to this very moment. To quote Lilly von Stupe in the movie Blazing Saddles, "God damn it, I'm exhausted." Consider these notes, parenthetical as they are. I'm not a lawyer. I've not studied law. I've learned what I know of the law from reading and personal experiences. The assertions in what we share with you today are based on my friend's understanding of the law, how it applies generally and broadly. Every commander in chief, each one of them, has blood on their hands, either through direct, indirect, or failure to act mechanisms. Leading, you see, involves responsibility to and for those you lead. Leadership contends that the president of the United States is where the buck stops. As Harry S. Truman once said, the buck stops here. And so it is, or should be, with every president. The leader is ultimately responsible for the decisions and the choices which they make on behalf of the country, supposedly. And what do we face today? Bungles the clown, the seated leader of the United States of America, or as maybe it's better known, the new socialist states of North America. Therefore, he is ultimately responsible. He? Well, we call him Bungles the Clown. I prefer Abandonitis. In Joey's first few days as emperor, or should I say first few hours, he took his oath of office. They walked him into a tiny little desk that was supposed to represent the Oval Office, but it didn't. Oh, it had its logo on it, where he signed 16 executive orders effectively opening the U.S. border with Mexico. The legalese in these directives was intentionally mind-boggling. A mere mortal like me could study for years and barely understand the implications, but that was the intent. We're not supposed to understand. We're only serfs to our swamp overlords, my friends. You see, America's become a tangle of laws, orders, rules, directives, and mandates that keep us on the statutory razor's edge between liberty and the gulag. And hence, regardless of where you step, you risk being cut. You see, the American government, my friends, is playing word games, not like Scrabble or crossword puzzles. These word games impact our lives, our liberty, our way of life, and our country. And what we talk about tonight is about the impacts of wordsmithing, the expert use of words. And this practice allows the wordsmith to say one thing and mean the exact opposite, providing intentional ambiguity and interpretive freedoms with our documents. In other words, legalese. And the examples we share with you tonight relate to the administration's insistence that the Mexico-U.S. border is closed and secure, and yet legal ambiguity created porosity with these 16 executive orders, which have allowed millions of undocumented aliens into America. Over 4 million in the last 2 years. 2007, 416 documented encounters this last month, in July of 2022. There's an estimated 500,000, 500,000 that got away for a not-so-grand total of over 11.5 million undocumented in our country. But that's a number I disagree with. It's far greater than that. The undocumented in this nation is somewhere greater, somewhere between 30 and 40 million. This 11 million figure has been used for the last 20 years. But the doors have remained wide open. But what I've just shared with you is a prime example of wordsmithing. It asserts a closed border, but one that is non-existent in practice. The assertion of closed and secure skirts the truth that anyone, even our enemies, can comprehend and encourages them to enter at will. And hence the demo-suck administration plans to destabilize America to their political advantage. That's the only conclusion I can draw. Why else would our leadership take an illegal, unconstitutional stance in this situation? Why would they offer free health care, education, lodging, jobs, transportation, ID cards, and citizenship if the intent was to keep invaders out and ensure a stable country? Oh, yes, my friends. This and other examples clearly follow partisan lines. And their collaboration with the mainstream media and big tech is evident in all of them. Are the media and the tech industries paid accomplices of the political parties? I have to ask that question. But unfortunately, over the years that I've been on the airwaves, I think I've answered that question many times over. I mean, I recognize that the media's revenue stems from advertising, but as we all know, grants and specific confidential channels distribute funds clandestinely. Are these in play here as well? The crux of what we share with you this evening is the involvement of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States of America. He is directly responsible for the deaths of over 170,000 Americans from fentanyl brought through the closed and secured Mexican border. What about the immigrants that did not complete their crossings to America? No one counted them. We didn't even have an actual count of the invaders who made the trek and gained entry. And things for your consideration. Fentanyl seizures in the first 5 months of 2022 were 2.08 million pills That's just the first 5 months. And that's compared to 1.66 million in all of 2021 that we know of. The CPB seized 250 pounds of heroin in June of this year. And Mexico seized over 1,200 pounds. That equals 1 million tablets of fentanyl in July of 2022. Last month. Estimates indicate that there is sufficient fentanyl in America already to kill everyone in this country at least once. But no one disputes that the entry path for fentanyl and other illicit drugs is through the closed and secured U.S. southern border with Mexico. Don't forget, the Mexican drug cartels control the coyotes. And more, I believe they control our border. You see, estimates indicate that the drug cartels made between $10 and $30 billion in 2021. And their profits are soaring this year in 2022. Coyotes are the agents the immigrants pay to transport them across the border. And the contracts with the coyotes often require the transportation of illegal substances, sexual favors, indentured servitude, prostitution once across the border. Immigrants, of course, are called mules because they carry or transport these illegal drugs as part of their contracts with the coyotes. Doesn't it make you wonder if there are kickbacks or quid pro quo for the open border policies? I would suspect there would be. And since the PATH, the administration's open border policy, allows unfettered access to anyone who wishes to enter, isn't the author of this policy the leader of the United States? Wouldn't he be responsible for the consequences of said policy? I mean, he's the guy that signed the executive order that completely nulled and voided executive orders that Donald Trump signed to secure the borders and get the gates up and the border walls up, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure as he sat there in his brain-dead mindset at that little tiny desk the day he was inaugurated, I'm sure he turned to Kamala Wanaswala, his vice president, and asked what he was signing, and she said, "Don't worry about it, just sign it." Let me share a couple of interesting definitions with you. Homicide. Homicide is the killing of one person by another. It is a broad term that includes both legal and illegal killings. Well, there are legal stipulations. There's excuses like military or police actions that are homicides, but not punishable because of extenuating circumstances, but it's still killing. Then there's murder. Murder is a homicide that is the illegal killing of another person with malice and afterthought. Knowledgeable and intentional desire to do evil. The intention to do so. Keep in mind, there's first-degree murder, which is premeditated. The person intended and planned to commit the killing. Then there's the second-degree murder, which is without any preconceived intention of killing. Choking again. Of course, then there's manslaughter. That's the unintentional killing of another person. Voluntary manslaughter occurs when a person kills another without any premeditation. Kind of like, well, think of it in terms of the heat of passion. Then there's involuntary manslaughter.
That's when a person is killed by actions that involve a wanton disregard for life by another. Committed without premeditation, without the actual intent to kill, but the death of another person still occurs. Now, I understand it's taken a little bit of time to get to this point, but understand the background is essential to that which we're sharing. And my friend's assertion that Bungles the Clown is guilty of murder. Now, my friend is not a lawyer nor a judge, as am I not. But as I see it, the charge should be a minimum of second-degree murder. His actions, directions, his orders, his mandates have caused the deaths of over 170,000 Americans, countless immigrants trying to enter this country due to his direct and implied invitations. He sends Kamala down there to be the so-called guard of all this. But we're back to the same situation, the same inference. Our amazing leader, Abandonitas, his duplicitous messages to stay in Mexico and his flagrant disregard for constitutional laws to secure our border caused over 4 million immigrants to undertake a perilous journey to enter this country illegally. And there's no counting the numbers that have perished as a result. Is the uncontrolled access to the southern United States bringing illegal drugs like fentanyl and other narcotics directly results from his executive actions and inactions to secure our border as required in the U.S. Constitution? I mean, he swore an oath to uphold it when he stole the job. And he has violated that oath from the moment that he took the job. I'm not even sure, my friend, that you even thought about those words. So what's the impact on the citizens of this country? My friends, it's not just the fentanyl or the narcotic deaths. Communities along the 1,954-mile U.S. border are overwhelmed as these invaders inundate small towns and ranches. And even cities in the contiguous 48 states feel the impact of this moronic open border policy. Imagine having over 4 million people walking through your property, your yard, your farm, your town. Who's going to care for them? Oh, sure, they're probably hungry, thirsty, in need of medical attention. They're tired. They need to recuperate from their odyssey. Where can they do that? The invasion strains even volunteer social services. Food banks and shelters are past capacities. We discussed food banks on the program on Tuesday. Sympathetic citizens are working to keep up with all of this, but these services are designed to support the local community, not an invasion. Yes, I understand. Admittedly, most immigrants are looking for a better life, but what about the criminals? The rapists, the sex offenders, murderers, drug traffickers, gangbangers, terrorists? So far, the CPB has caught 42 terrorists and stopped over 100 on the terrorist watch list. But what about the ones that slipped through the now roaming freely in America, planning their next attack? Some of these criminals are in the yo-yo-yo recidivism program. They were caught, deported, caught again, deported again, caught again, deported again, wash, rinse, repeat. What the? Over. And how many stories of that type have we shared with you over the years? Who bears the cost for all of these new indigent visitors? Answer? The four border states. California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. What about those lucky recipient states in the demo suck late night repatriation program? Now, friends, this is what passes for fair and equitable in America. This is what America is now and forever. Will Bungles the Clown's administration reimburse everyone impacted by this insane policy? Probably not. As the commander-in-chief, he is ultimately responsible for these deaths. He signed the executive orders to open the gates. He signed the orders to stop the construction of the border wall. He decided to pay the contractor not to build the wall. He blocked the CPB from enforcing the laws. And he signed the orders to stop COVID testing at the border. And he assigned Cackling Kamala as the border czarina. He signed all of the orders. I understand. I agree. Congress is an accessory, equally responsible for all of these crimes and deaths and associated costs for failing to exercise its constitutional mandate to stop them. Well, they covet the power, but they shirk the responsibility. Bungles the Clown is a murderer. Congress is complicit. And as our so-called leaders, they are all equally responsible. I mean, it sure looks like murder to me. Do you understand all of this? Do you care? Abandonitas doesn't. But I'm not sure he's got the mental ability to understand it anyway. It's profound to me. Oh. Author Charles Dickens. It is profound how we watch all of this, living in it. It is appalling. Now, over the years, I've received lots of texts, lots of emails, occasional notes or brief letters with payment for products purchased through my firm, whether it's books or whether it's metals or whatever the case may happen to be. About a month and a half ago, maybe a month ago, I shared a letter with you I'd received from a woman who listens to the network, listens to my program. She lives in Hawaii. No time. About the same time I'd received her letter, I received a letter from another listener. Several days ago, I received another letter from her. This letter moved me much the way the first letter did that I shared with you. Given all that we've shared with you from Charles tonight, and the crazy thing is, it's not just Charles. It may be Charles writing, but it's my beliefs and my feelings as well. This is why Charles and I have this ability to read each other so well. The things that we see, the things that we visualize, the things that we feel. are so identical. But I want to take a different approach on the majority of the balance of this program. And I want to share this letter that I received from Elaine up in Idaho. Now, don't have a heart attack, my dear. She was introduced to RBN by a longtime listener of this network, a woman I've known on and off in one form or another for many, many years. She was the secretary of Jack McGlam. Some of you will remember Jack. And Carol had told Elaine about RBN years ago, but didn't really understand how to access the programs until recently. And Elaine says, I really appreciate how you and others who have dedicated so many years warning citizens of the civil infecting, of the evil infecting our country. Some of you quote meaningful Bible scriptures in your discussions. And that is also appreciated by those who have studied God's word for many years. Bible truth is what sustains me during these dark, satanic days. It appears to me that we are now in the prophesied last days of human rulership over the earth. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. God said in Jeremiah 10:23 that humans are incapable of ruling themselves. It reminds me of 1 Samuel 8, 4-18, when the Israelites rejected God's rulership through the judges and wanted a king like the nations. And God warned them about the unfavorable consequences of choosing human rulership. But the people didn't listen. And these same consequences plague us today. And so Elaine continues, the choice is put before us again. Now is God's original plan to have an earth populated by peaceful people obeying his government laws and principles would be established on earth under his son's rulership for 1,000 years. That's Psalms 2. That this is the good news. Jesus commanded his followers to preach in all the nations, and then the end of Satan's rulership over the earth. You see, the scriptures hold many encouraging words to sustain us in these last days. Luke 21:25-28, time to rejoice. Revelations 11:7-18 talks about the destruction of these ruining the earth. No worry about climate change nonsense. A great crowd of survivors of the great tribulation in Armageddon on earth. Psalms 37:9-11 and 29. Proverbs 2:21-22. Not all of Jesus' followers chosen to go to heaven. Only 144, and I don't understand. This is part of the problem when you're reading someone's letter. Listen, I love it, Elaine, because you write in old-fashioned, you know, handwritten stuff, and sometimes I miss a word or I miss a referral here. No fake rapture. No literal burning of the earth. Psalms 91, God is our protector and savior during these wicked times. But my friends, God may be our protector, are we deserving? No, these are not Elaine's words, these are my words, these are my questions. Are we deserving of that protection? I sit here looking at what goes on in this nation today, and it frustrates me. What are we doing to earn that protection? There are some who do. But I fear there's not enough. And this bothers me. Elaine closes by saying, thank you for the rapid response and sending Dr. Kelly's book. May God bless your operation with success so you will have better health and can continue spreading truth in a wicked world. And my dear, this is a wicked world, as you well know. These things are amazingly frustrating to me. I know that there are times on the air that I will tend to use a little bit of loose language, my friends. It's not that I necessarily have to, but there are times I do it to shock the listeners into a wake-up call. That does not offend me. Not if that's going to wake you up and make you take notice and pay better attention to what in the world is going on around you. I have shared a comment with listeners, and I'll just leave it at that. That over the years that I've been on the air, which is now over 27 years, as I've made this very claim, in late June, I began my 28th year on the airwaves. I've known too many of the people firsthand who also have broadcast on the air. Some are no longer with us. There are those I was not ever sure ever were with us. I've made it very plain and clear that unfortunately I know where too damn many of the bodies are buried. I know too many of the problems that were started by many broadcasters. Not all. There are some amazing people out there that are no longer with us that I wish were still with us. There was a point in time where I'd been on the air for some years. Initially with a precious metals firm in Scottsdale, Arizona called Viking International Trading. That is when I began to broadcast. I'd already been in the precious metals business for several years prior to that. I began in 1990 or 91, I think it was 91, and worked for a company that was well known in the precious metals field, but I unfortunately know where the bodies were buried with them. Now, that's a term I use because of the way that they conducted business. I began to have disgust. And yet, I was making money. It wasn't great money, but I was making money. I actually had some very good friends who also worked there that were very clean in the way they conducted business. There are others that were dirty and liars and cheaters and scumbags. And I didn't like that. There were people that I met there that left the firm and helped establish other firms, who within a year or a half later did the same thing, left that firm and started another firm, and then another, and another, and another. And that was the dirty way he conducted his business. But the thing that turned me off with this one firm is when we were getting rid of, the company was getting ready to go to court. They were suing a former broker for alleged violation of an agreement that had been signed. And later on, they came and did the same thing with me, but in my case, they lost. And they lost because I did not violate the agreement. The agreement states that I could not contact any of my so-called clients, which they refer to as their clients, for a period of 12 months after I left the firm. I didn't pick up the phone and contact a single one. They all knew how to contact me. When they got loaded up the following Monday with the story that I had left, but I had personally selected some things just for them, blah, 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 blah. They began calling me at home that night. They chose to continue to do business with me. But there's far more to the story. When we were going to go into court, I was one of the brokers that, I wasn't one of the big shot brokers, so I was going to get called in to help testify against him. And the firm's attorney had a meeting with five or six of us that he was going to call up on the stands to, and began instructing us exactly the questions he was going to ask us and told us how we were supposed to answer. Well, I knew exactly what was going on. And it was a lie, and it was a deceit, and I wasn't going to play the game. I packed up my stuff and left. I went to work for another firm for a year, year and a half. It was a good firm. Honest firm. Didn't play those games. And ultimately, he sold the business out. And then I joined Viking International Trading, where I met Robbie Noel. Robbie and I didn't play the kind of games that other people played. Never would, never could. I began broadcasting there. And several years later, I was still broadcasting, but Viking had made some economic mistakes and shut down. And I began broadcasting from my home office. I actually purchased the broadcasting equipment from Viking International Trading and set it up in my home, and I began broadcasting. A year or so later, I was doing a preparedness expo outside of Dallas, Texas. And a relatively new broadcaster who was making quite a name for himself came to this show as well. He was going to set up a booth to sell himself to the public that he was the savior. No, I don't mean the spiritual savior. The know-all, see-all guy who I was introduced to couldn't be bothered. He was too busy, for he was the great Alex Jones. If you've paid any attention to, and a lot of this I did not publish until last night, very little is being talked about as relates to Alex Jones in the usual places you go to online. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this guy. Some years ago, and I think that we may have sometime in the last year, I may have even re-aired a program that I had recorded entitled, They Call Me Mr. Jones. Well, I've kind of copied that title tonight, today, and I'm not going to share the whole thing with you. I've retitled it. They call him Mr. Jones. You see, Mr. Jones has been in court as of late. He's put on a horrendous amount of weight. I may offend some of you here, but it's a reality factor. I know too much about where the bodies are buried with Mr. Jones. He's an arrogant son of a buck. And he always was, in my humble opinion. He squirmed in the court as he was told that his lawyers mistakenly disclosed his Sandy Hook text messages, which he said did not exist. And Jones in court has finally admitted that the shooting was not a hoax. All I'm doing with you is sharing a couple of headlines and brief notes here. If you care to read the articles, you can go to federalobserver.com and read them. He, on the court, squirms and he sweats and he finally folds. And after 10 years of causing utter misery to these bereft Sandy Hook parents, he finally admitted the massacre of 20 children was no hoax. And a 12-person jury made a decision today how much he owes these devastated victims, parents, for damage and the harm that his lies have caused them over the span of a decade. And why did he continue to lie? Because it was all about the shekel. It was always about the damn money with him. Not saving the country, not awaking the country to stand up and do what they have to do to protect and save themselves. No, that was never Alex Jones' game. It all became money. In the aftermath of gunman Adam Lanza's deadly school shooting, Jones began telling people through his radio program and website that the murders never happened, and in some cases that the children being mourned didn't even exist, and claimed that the deadly shooting was staged and completely fake, carried out by actors as a giant hoax. Could he go to jail? Potentially faces up to 10 years if perjury charges are brought after his lawyers mistakenly sent his emails and texts to Sandy Hook parents' attorneys showing that he lied to the court. Oh, he may have more than civil penalties to worry about after he finishes his $150 million defamation case brought by the parents of a 6-year-old slain at Sandy Hook Elementary School. He could be looking for prison time for perjury. And it was a degree of guilt found today. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I know that there was a somewhat sizable figure. And I can't get over to the second room, Michael. If you can possibly copy that off the other room and post it here in the first room, can you do that? The piece I sent you that came out of the Wall Street Journal. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. Jones's company filed for bankruptcy amid this Texas trial. He filed bankruptcy for protection last Friday. Get this. An unexpected move that came as the trial was underway in Texas to determine how much in damages he will have to pay the families of the two Sandy Hook victims who sued and won a default judgment against him. Thanks, man. His decision to seek bankruptcy protection for his company, which is known as Free Speech Systems, which operates his right-wing conspiratorial outlet, InfoWars, also comes after he was found legally responsible in a separate defamation case in Connecticut. Don't go feeling sorry for Alex Jones. His own mouth, his own actions in all these years have brought this to him. And I know there's a good number of you that have had tremendous respect for the guy. That's your choice. I know where the bodies are buried with this guy. He was ordered to pay $4.1 million. Can you grab the part that I manually entered in there for you? Or is that basically it? I don't even know. I can't get back to it. It's kind of weird. I never could take those paths. Yeah, there are things that I disagree with. There's things that have taken place in this country and around the world that I've spoken openly about. Here's what came out of the Wall Street Journal today. Alex Jones ordered to pay $4.1 million to the parents of Sandy Hook victim. Jones was ordered by a jury to pay $4.1 to the parents of 1 6-year-old boy killed in the Sandy Hook school shooting in the first several trials, seeking damages for his repeated public statements suggesting the massacre was a hoax. This came out of today's Wall Street Journal. Wake up and take notice as to what's going on around you and who you're listening to and who you're paying attention to. Whether it's me, that's your business. Whether it's not me, that's your business. I've never been offended by who chose to listen to the things I talk about and don't talk about. But these are the kind of things that upset me. Yes, it upsets me that a bunch of kids were killed and a bunch of other kids were killed in other schools time and time and time and time again. Gee, I find it interesting that Jones hasn't bothered talking about any of those. Or maybe he has. It's insane. But folks, when it's all about the money, because that's really what it comes down to being. There is another article that I published that I just came across hours ago. And I published it today on federalobserver.com. If you have any doubts, it's the second article from the top. It's called, I Worked for Alex Jones and I Regret It. Read that article. And I will tell you that the author, Mr. Owens, also knows where the bodies are buried. It's sad. Jones is not the only broadcaster that's done things like that. Some are still with us, some are not. But not living with them, I don't have specifics. Other people I've worked with, and I do have specifics. That's sad. It's like I've said, I've been doing this for so damn many years, and I've had so much involvement with so many of these people. Yeah. I unfortunately know where the bodies are buried in so many instances, and it's sad. My goal is for this nation, for its people, for my family, for your families, for those of you who get it, those of you who care. That's what's important. No, there is no business like show business. I'd rather have nothing to do with it. We reached the end of our time today. We're getting close. I've chosen our opening piece of music tonight for a particular reason, just as I've chosen for our closing piece of music for equally as strong of a reason. Be with me tomorrow night. I've got a very interesting concert we're going to be doing for you tomorrow night. I still have not had a chance to get my guy over here to work on my equipment to help me begin to do some of the live programs on Friday nights I would like to do. But the one we're going to do tomorrow night is kind of a surprise. My friends, thanks for being with us. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett. Do you think we have time? These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses, the rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have
never too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out in the wounded skies above. Say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. To what you can, and charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door. Say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take all my chances. Say, I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope, there is no hope to speak out in the wounded skies above. Say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.